Chair Abbott.
Here.
Ranking Democratic Member Hunshofsky.
Here.
Representatives Anderson.
Here.
Benjamin. Barrero.
Here.
Botana.
Here.
Kennedy. Fabricio.
Here.
Franklin.
Present.
Griffiths. Placon. Rudman.
Here.
Steele.
Here.
Stevenson.
Here.
Stevenson.
Here.
Tant.
Here.
Temple.
Here.
Tremont.
Here.
Woodson.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ms. Kimberly. Good morning and welcome to the January 18th morning meeting of the Insurance and Banking Subcommittee. Please silence all your electronic devices, and members, remember to turn your microphones on and off. We have four bills to hear today and two proposed committee substitutes, but before we get started, I do want to take care of a little piece of business. I want to wish Ms. Kimberly a happy birthday. So, members, if you will, say thank you. Happy birthday. We'll start with HB 625, Property Insurance Coverage, by Representative Buchanan. Representative Buchanan, you are recognized to present your bill.
Good morning, Chairman Abbott, Ranking Member Hunshofsky, and members of the committee. This morning, I'm going to be talking to you a little bit about HB 625 and three of the key revisions relating to statute that's related to insurance. The first one is it's going to make sure when condominium associations with a rental exposure are unable to procure full limits of coverage via private markets, that there will be an ability to procure those full limits of coverage through Citizens. Secondly, the language in the bill will provide for a standardized and uniform process relating to commercial roof inspection forms. And lastly, the bill will increase the required limit of insurance for loss assessment coverage from 2,000, which was put into statute in 2010, to coverage limits of 5,000. That is the bill, Mr. Chairman. And we do have an amendment.
Thank you, Representative. Members, any questions on the bill? Seeing none, you're recognized to present the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The amendment clarifies that the rates charged by Citizens Insurance for condominium associations with rental exposure will be actuarially sound, and it clarifies that roof condition inspection forms shall be standardized and uniform for both personal and residential commercial applications. That's the amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Members, any questions on the amendment? Representative Franklin, you're recognized.
Yeah, thank you so much, Mr. Chair, and thanks for bringing this bill and amendment for discussion. My questions are around initially with the underlying bill that had that initial form for the roof inspections. This amendment seems to change that form. What are the key differences between the form that now we're using, and not only for Citizens, all insurance companies, between that and the previous form?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Representative Franklin, for that question. Currently, there's not a standardized form, Representative Franklin, and so the goal would be to have a standardized form, not just on the residential side, but on the commercial residential side, of which what seemed to make the most sense, and we could have a conversation about that, but what seemed to make the most sense is to use the Citizens form and standardize that. So that is the form that we chose, and then it would be approved via OIR.
Members, any other questions? No other questions. Is there any public testimony on the amendment? No public testimony. Any members, any debate on the amendment? Seeing no debate, you're recognized to close on your amendment.
Waive close, Mr. Chair.
Waive and close. Members, are there any objections to the amendment? Seeing none, without objection, show the amendment adopted. We're back on the bill as amended. Members, any questions on the bill as amended? Representative Stevens, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chairman. This bill is addressing something that clearly is a problem with the rentals of condos being mixed with residential properties in the same building structure. Is there any requirement that any of the units be residential or not primarily rental units for them to be covered under citizens. And if I can say, I'm just a little concerned about the blurring between commercial and non-commercial property and the increasing cost to the taxpayers of Florida.
Recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for the question, Representative Stevenson. Here's what I can tell you, Representative Stevenson. I think there's roughly there's over 900,000 condo units in the state that are 30 plus years old. The fraction of those that have a rental component to them are very difficult to find coverage at the moment in the private markets. A lot of these folks that live currently in a condominium of which there's a rental component are primary residents. We are removing from statute the portion of which, you know, Citizens is not going to insure if there's a 50% threshold of those short-term rental units. But the problem is a lot of these folks, some of these folks do have mortgages and other liens of which they need to satisfy as well. So a lot of these folks live within the communities and they are full-time residents within these associations. And there is no product, not only on the private markets, but because of the way that that the statute has been put together and changed, there's no product currently at full limits at Citizens. So there's no product available for these types of communities.
Members, any other questions? Seeing no more questions, is there any public testimony? Matthew Mercer with CBIZ Insurance Services wishes to appear. You're recognized.
Good morning, Chair Abbott, members of the Insurance and Banking Committee. Thank you for allowing me to speak today. My name is Matthew Mercer. I'm the National Practice Leader for CBIZ Insurance Services Community Association Division. My firm handles the insurance and risk management programs for condominium associations from the West Coast of the United States all the way down to the Florida Keys. On a personal note, I'm a second-generation insurance agent with 18 years of insuring condominium associations. I'm here on behalf of my clients to support House Bill 625. I'd like to thank Representative Buchanan for drafting this critical legislation. So why am I and my condominium clients in support of this? And this has to do with Florida Statute 718 condominium associations with 50% more units rented for more than 8 times in the calendar year for less than 30 days will be eligible for the Citizens Commercial Residential Windstorm Program only. One thing I want to add, hurricanes don't care if a Florida Statute 718 condominium association allows rentals. Neither should the state of Florida. What the state of Florida should be concerned about is getting heads back into beds after the loss, not only for full-time condominium residents, which in fact live at these communities, but also the weekly rental condominium associations, the same condominium associations that house our out-of-state visitors who come to the great state of Florida for the weather and sunshine. House Bill 625 also increases the required limits of coverage for loss assessment. In my opinion, this is a consumer-friendly coverage enhancement that will have an impact on the capacity in the state of Florida, nor will it create an opportunity for insurance companies to increase to issue large increases. I love the standardized form. I think having a standardized form is a good thing. In closing, I want to state for the record, and because it's important, the potential consequences. Let's make no bones about it. We are competing for tourism dollars against our neighboring states and also the Gulf states, quite frankly. If we are unable to rebuild after a loss, what's going to occur? That tourism dollars, they're going to go elsewhere. They're going to go to Alabama, Georgia, Texas, Mississippi. They're not going to come here. Why it's important that we have the citizens issue fixed is because we want to be able to have full limits coverage for these communities that have folks that have been coming down to for generations and will continue to come down as long as that property is there. In closing, As an insurance agent who specializes in condominium associations, the legislation proposed in House Bill 625 is an easy fix to a potential nightmare scenario. With that, please consider voting yes today for House Bill 625. Thank you for your time, and have a great day, and also thank you for serving the great state of Florida.
Thank you for being here today. Members, no further public testimony. We're in debate. Come up and we'll get you to fill out a card and present it later. Thank you.
Turned in a card. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning. Travis Moore, representing Community Associations Institute. Not sure where the card went, but we'll get another one to you, sir. I wanted to thank Representative Buchanan and the House for taking on and other stakeholders like citizens for assisting community associations with this good bill. As Representative Stevenson alluded to in her question, right now community associations, particularly condo associations, there is no admitted market for commercial residential really other than citizens. And if they are not allowed or cannot participate in citizens, they are then obviously put into the surplus lines market, which as we all know, those rates it's kind of the Wild West. This bill would allow, as Matt said earlier, would allow associations where there happens to be more than 50% rentals to still participate in getting wind coverage from citizens, because obviously the wind doesn't care what's going on in that building, and then therefore keeping those rates lower. Then obviously the other good components regarding the loss assessment coverage and the having a standardized wind form, I think it just makes sense. But I just wanted to offer the support of your condo associations and community associations to this good bill.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Any further public testimony? Seeing none, members, we're in debate. Anybody wishing to debate? Representative Fabricio, you're recognized.
Representative Buchanan, thank you so much for bringing this this good bill. I'll be up on it. I did want to debate because I think it's important I don't want to necessarily consider this to be an expansion of citizens, but it does to some degree. It broadens the scope of which our insurer of last resort is going to be providing coverage to properties in the state of Florida. As that citizens' census of policies keeps growing, I am concerned. I'm concerned that citizens is getting way too big. We've taken steps over the last year and a half to 2 years to ensure that the majority of the risk, God forbid we were to get hit by more than one catastrophic storm, would fall on every single resident of the state of Florida through assessments. We're trying to mitigate that down the road. I think this is important. I hear from my constituents, this is something that's needed. So I think we need to do this, absolutely. But I think we need to take heed of the fact that this is an expansion of citizens. And, there will be ramifications down the road, unfortunately. But thank you so much. I'll be up today.
Thank you. Any other debate? Representative Stevenson, you're recognized.
Thank you. And I support the concept of it. I have a number of condos myself, and so this is probably going to be, it's not detrimental to me as an individual. So just to say, I hope this is a temporary thing and that the private market can come in when things get healthier to cover it. Because the blurring between commercial, what's commercial, and we have a lot of bedding infrastructure on the that is completely not condominiums like that in the hotel motel industry, and I don't want to expand to that level. That's my primary concern. But I do think we are in a very difficult situation, and it's not controllable. I don't think it was necessarily foreseeable as the way our condo infrastructure is used has changed over time. Thank you for bringing the bill.
Ranking Member Hanchowski, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Buchanan, I just want to thank you very much for this. I have a lot of condos in my area, and a lot of them are... We have people who are 55 and older living in them. They're on fixed incomes, and they are feeling the pain and the pressure from every single direction. And while we've spent years putting forth legislation that's supposed to fix the insurance problem, that people haven't felt that yet. And so I really appreciate you bringing this bill forward. in order to help those who really need our help right now. Thank you.
Representative Woodson, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair. Rep. Buchanan, thank you so much for taking the time to answer my questions. I had a few questions for you, and you did call me and answer the questions. And I appreciate you bringing this bill forward as well. We said, insurance is the hottest issue on the market right now with our constituents. They all feeling the pain. They all want, you know, to get the relief that they need in order to be able to afford insurance. So by you doing this, you're giving them, you know, more options, even though we have an issue with citizens also becoming a monopoly, which we do not really want. And also, I hope we can continue this conversation because I would like to work with you because I have so many seniors in my district who own condos who need to come with the reserve funding that they need and they cannot afford it because they are living from paycheck to paycheck and they cannot afford to do that. So I hope we can have that conversation since we're still on the line of insurance to see how best can we bring some relief to those seniors who have worked so hard buy those condos, and then now they can afford to maintain them. So I appreciate the work that you are doing in this field, and I will be supporting you, and I look forward to having that conversation with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other members in debate? Representative Steele, you recognize?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for bringing this bill forward. I do have concerns that we're passing off responsibility from the association to citizens. There are opportunities out there where you can take funds from the association and put them in caps. And those could be built up a reserve for self-insurance instead of having citizens bail out the issue. I'm up on the bill, but I just think that there are some things that we should look at going forward in the future. Thanks.
Any other members in debate? No. I want to acknowledge that B.G. Murphy with FAIA is a proponent of the bill. With no further debate, Representative Buchanan, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I want to thank everyone for their feedback, comments. This is not an issue that, you know, I've just started working on over the last couple of weeks. This is something over the last 8 months I've worked on with multiple different stakeholders because there is a problem. I've worked with OIR. I've worked with citizens. I've worked with folks in our community. There are, in my community alone, I'm aware of no less than three different communities of which have a short-term rental component, of which there are primary residents that have mortgages, of which there's no private market option available, of which are not able to get full coverage. And so just to respond directly to Representative Stevenson, this was never meant, you know, this is not meant to compete with the free markets. We want a healthy free market. And in the absence of that, at the very least, we want a last case scenario opportunity for full coverage. That is the goal and the intent of this bill. Representative Fabrizio, as it relates to some of your questions, there's nothing in this bill that prevents depopulation. There's nothing in this bill that impacts the 20% rule. So there's still the ability for these free markets to come in, and just as they were at one point in time. You know, this was a vibrant market at one point in time as it relates to, this with the short-term rental component condo association market. And I think with a lot of the changes we've made, it will come back. So the intent and the goal of what I've brought forward is not to be in competition with the free markets. We're advocating for the free markets, and we want them back, but we need something in the meantime. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Buchanan, having closed on his bill, Ms. Kimberly, will you please call the roll?
Chair Duggan is excused. Vice Chair Abbott?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Hunshofsky?
Yes.
Representatives Anderson?
Yes.
Benjamin? Barrero?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Kennedy? Fabrizio?
Yes.
Franklin?
Yes.
Griffiths?
Yes.
Plakin?
Yes.
Rudman?
Yes.
Steele?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Tremont?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Members, by your vote, HB 625 by Representative Buchanan will be reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you, Chair.
Members, next we'll take up HB 943, Public Records, My Safe Florida Home Program by Representative LaMarca. Representative LaMarca, you are recognized.
Thank you, Chairman. Members, HB 943, Public Records for My Safe Florida Home Program, will create public records exemption for the applications of the home inspection reports as part of the My Safe Florida Home Program. Amongst other information, these documents contain pictures of homes and private contact information of applicants. This exemption will protect sensitive information from unscrupulous individuals, and that is the bill.
Representative LaMarca, having presented his bill, members, are there any questions? No questions. Seeing no amendments, we'll move on to public testimony. Chase Mitchell with Department of Financial Services waves in support. Tasha Carter of Office of the Insurance Consumer Advocate waves in support. Any other public testimony? Seeing none, members, we're in debate. Any member wishing to debate on the bill? Seeing no debate, Representative LaMarca, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Appreciate it, Chairman. With respect to this exemption, just so we're all aware, My Safe Florida Home Program has been a very successful program over the last couple of years, and a lot of folks have taken advantage of it, and unfortunately there are folks out there who would be unscrupulous and want to take advantage of them, and that's why we're doing this, so I appreciate your positive support.
Representative LaMarca having closed on his bill. Ms. Kimberly, will you please call the roll?
Chair Duggan is excused. Vice Chair Abbott?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Honchovsky?
Yes.
Representatives Anderson?
Yes.
Benjamin? Barrero?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Kennedy? Fabricio?
Yes.
Franklin?
Yes.
Griffiths?
Yes.
Clayton?
Yes.
Rudman?
Yes.
Steele?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Tremont?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
By your vote, the bill will be reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you, members.
Members, next we'll take up HB 637, Treatment by a Medical Specialist by Representative Yeager. You are recognized.
Thank you, Chairman Abbott. Thank you, Chairman Abbott and Ranking Member Honchovsky and members. The current situation today is our firefighters and law enforcement officers are having to wait months to get to see a specialist while not being able to get back to work, or worse, having a medical emergency while waiting. This bill permits firefighters and law enforcement to seek treatment from a medical specialist, such as a cardiologist, in a timely manner. Mr. Chairman, that is the bill.
Thank you. Representative Yeager presenting his bill. Any questions on the bill? Representative Rudman, you're recognized.
Thank you, Representative, for this good bill. I just had a question about the process. Is it because we're dealing with workers' compensation? Is that the source of the issue?
You recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes,
that is.
Members, any other questions? Seeing no further questions, we do have an amendment. Representative Yeager, you are recognized to present your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We are amending the bill to give employers the opportunity to approve the selected specialist or to provide an alternate specialist that can provide care in a timely manner.
Thank you. Any questions on the amendment? Representative Steele, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for bringing this great bill. It's much needed. The amendment concerns me so that the employer, which would be Tampa Fire, you know, the county, they have to approve the specialist.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for the question, Representative Steele. Yes. Yeah, so what this does is basically they have to, in writing, within 5 days, they write and request the specialist. It gives the employer then, or it gives the employer 5 days to respond to set an appointment up within 30 days. The issue has been we've waited months, so we don't get the opportunity to select a specialist just to make sure the costs don't go up and give them that right to do that within 30 days. We feel that's reasonable.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Seeing no further questions, or any public testimony on the amendment? Rocco Salvatore, a Florida Professional Firefighters, waves in support. Thank you for being here. further? Members, any debate on the amendment? Representative Rubman, you're recognized. Representative Stevenson, you're recognized.
Thank you. I appreciate you bringing this bill. I had a little experience with workers' comp recently, and I'm not a firefighter. And the specialist, sometimes it's somewhat problematic because the mark is not as clear as you might think between what's a workers' compensation issue and some things in your history. And it would be advantageous if there was an avenue in other situations for people to pay the difference, even to go to or at least consult with their own physicians. The way we have the lines marked right now make it very difficult. And I especially appreciate this for our firefighters, where we've accepted this responsibility and we want to see them get healthy, get cleared, and get back to work or be cared for them and their families. They do so much for us. Thank you, Chair.
Representative Tant, you're recognized for a question. Okay. No. Representative Steele, you're recognized for a question on the amendment.
Is it a question or debate? I thought we were in debate. On the amendment.
Debate.
Sorry. Thank you, Chair. Excuse me. I'm all up on your bill. I'm going to tell you, you know, supporting our firefighters, police is the most important thing we can do for our communities. I am concerned that we have to have approval from the employer. A lot of these organizations, or a lot of firefighters, are backed by unions. And I'm going to tell you, on a personal level, my brother-in-law was a firefighter in Tampa and suffered a knee injury, had to go through workers' comp, and couldn't go to a specialist to have his knee looked at. Ultimately, there was a bad decision in the Tampa Bay area. I don't have a problem saying it. And I think if he had the opportunity to actually go to the proper doctor at the right time and get treatment, he would have been still a firefighter today. So I'm up on the bill. I just think that we need to look at that. Thanks.
Any other members wishing to debate on the amendment? Seeing none, Representative Yeager, you are recognized to close on your amendment.
Wave closed.
Having wave closed, are there any objections to the amendment? Seeing none, we'll show the amendment adopted. Now moving back to the bill as amended, any questions on the bill as amended? Public testimony on the bill as amended. We do have some. Jason Brzezowski for Suncoast Professional Firefighters and Paramedics waves in support. Jason Haas, Polk County Firefighters and Hernando County Firefighters, waves in support. Bruce Anderson, Indian River County Professional Firefighters, waves in support. Thank you for being here. Randy Wise with Florida Firefighters, waves in support. Drew Rayburn, Palm Beach County Professional Firefighters, waves in support. Tim Persons, Hillsborough County Firefighters, Local 2294, waves in support. Michael Ward, Suncoast Police Benevolent Association, waves in support. Barney Bishop with Florida Smart Justice Alliance, waves in support. William Smith, Florida PBA, waves in support. John Vasquez, Florida Police Benevolent Association, waves in support. Rocco Salvatore of Florida Professional Firefighters is a proponent of the bill. Wishes to speak?
Thank you.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for taking the time to talk about this too this morning. I know many of you heard from your local firefighters who were up here this week about this issue, and I'll be very brief. Rep Yeager's bill is not only going to help these firefighters navigate the work comp system, which lately the care they've been accessing, particularly for some specialists, hasn't been timely, in our opinion. It certainly hasn't been local. But this doesn't just affect them individually. It affects the services that are being provided by these fire departments. You know, when a firefighter has something as simple as an odd EKG printout from their annual physical, they're now in the work comp system. And that's a system where they're not controlling when they get care, where they get care at all. And we understand that it is an employer-directed system, and I think the amendment today in Rep. Yeager's bill strikes a balance there. It at least gives the firefighter a tool to raise their hand and say, no, I don't want to wait 6 weeks to find out what a cardiologist thinks about my heart. I don't want to wait 6 weeks to get back on the fire truck. And, you know, when they're not on that fire truck, the fire department is replacing them with somebody else, or worse, responding with less staffing. So we very much appreciate you listening to your firefighters about this and hearing this bill. Thank you. Thank you, Rep.
Thank you for being here. Seeing no other further public testimony, members, we're in debate on the Representative Anderson. You are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thanks, Rep. Yeager, for bringing this great bill. Our first responders have a duty to protect us and to come to our aid on our worst day, and I think we have a responsibility to take care of them. So, of course, I'll be up on this bill, and I hope that this bill passes through this committee with unanimous bipartisan support. Thank you.
Representative Tant, you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for bringing this bill. I spoke with my firefighters yesterday. I actually have some firefighters in my local area who are having health issues. And the notion that something as simple as an irregular heartbeat would send you to the workers' comp system is really unfathomable. So I want to thank you for bringing this bill, and I urge everyone on this committee to join me in voting yes on it. Thank you.
Representative Rubman, you are recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Rep. Yeager, I know we stand here, you know, we're kind of in the insurance and commerce silo, but let's be clear, this bill is a health care bill, and I hope you enjoy working on it, because this is an amazing bill. I'm so glad you talked to me about it. It's so necessary. And like I said, I really hope you enjoy it, because you're going to be here for quite a long time, and I would love to work with you on a complete overhaul of the workers' comp system. It's broken. It's busted. You and I, we both know that we have a friend who sustained an illness a couple weeks back, and they had an MRI all scheduled and ready to go, only to find out that afternoon that it's a workers' comp case. So now their MRI has been indefinitely postponed. So, again, welcome aboard. I'm glad to have you working on a health care bill. And, man, you're really good at it. And, of course, I'm up on this bill.
Representative Franklin, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Rep. Yeager, for your leadership in bringing this great bill to the committee. We all know our first responders put their lives on the line and their health on the line to serve our communities. And whenever they're in action and end up getting hurt or injured, it's important for we that we protect them and ensure they have access to high-quality health care to make sure that we can also make sure they're safe to live longer lives for their families and get back to work, like the gentleman said before, to get back and help continue to do what they wake up every single day to do, which is help others. And so thanks for bringing this bill, and looking forward to voting up on it.
Representative Woodson, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Rep. Yeager, thank you so much for bringing this good bill forward. When we're talking about police officers, firefighters, correction officers, they are called first responders for a reason. First responders. And we have to make sure that they have access to timely and high quality care in order for them to do the job, to protect us and do what they need to do. There could have not been a better bill this morning. I really appreciate you working on it, because like Rep. Franklin just said, they put their life on the line for us. We need to be there for them to make sure that they have everything that they need to do their jobs right, and also to be on time whenever they need to get out to do what they need to do. So I appreciate you, and I look forward to support you on this bill, and I also thank them for their service. Thank you.
Representative Steele, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to echo everybody on the committee here. You know, thank you for bringing it forward. I'd love to co-sponsor the bill. I think everybody in this committee probably would feel the same to do the same for you. I think we're going to have more of an issue across the board with healthcare going forward. There's a lot of changes that CMS is doing that's going to affect every single physician, and that might be part of the problem, too, that you're seeing. So it's not going to just be workers' comp. It's going to be across the board. So thank you for doing what you're doing. Let's try to fix this before it gets out of hand. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Any other members wishing to debate? Seeing no other members. Representative Yeager, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just real fast, to Rep. Steele, to your question, I will say it makes you feel better that so the they have 30 days, or they have 5 days to set an appointment within 30 days. If they cannot do that, it's their initial request is automatically approved and authorized. So there's no waiting on that. So we're not gonna have them waiting. So, but no, just thank you very much. And I think this is a great bill. As we see the workforce and staffing issues across the state in all industries, especially in our firefighters and law enforcement, this bill will help employees get back to work, which they want to be and where they want to be, and get them back on the job. More importantly, this bill will absolutely save lives. Unfortunately, we've had tragic events where firefighters have literally lost their lives waiting to see a cardiologist or a specialist. So this is going to stop that, and this is going to make sure that they are seen within 35 days at the max. So I appreciate your support, and I definitely appreciate your co-sponsorship on this bill if you feel the need. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Yeager, having closed on his bill, Ms. Kimberly, will you please call the roll?
Chair Duggan is excused. Vice Chair Abbott?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Honchovsky?
Yes.
Representatives Anderson?
Yes.
Benjamin? Barrero?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Franklin?
Yes.
Griffiths?
Yes.
Flaken?
Yes.
Rudman?
Yes.
Steele?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Tremont?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Members, by your unanimous vote, the bill will be reported as successful. Thank you. Congratulations. Members, next we're going to take up PCS for HB 311 Securities by Representative Barnaby. Members, this bill is before us today because the amendment that was adopted at our meeting last Thursday amended the relating to clause. House Rule 7.11D requires that a bill with such a title amendment be temporarily postponed. However, the amended bill may be heard in a subsequent meeting of the same committee after being noticed as a proposed committee substitute. I want to make sure that everybody knows nothing has changed with the bill, and so this should move fairly quickly. We're just correcting a procedural problem. So, Representative Barnaby, you're recognized to explain the PCS before we take up the amendment.
Good morning. Thank you, Chair, Ranking Member. Members of the Insurance and Banking Subcommittee, it is my pleasure to present HB 311 again today. 311 amends Chapters 517 of the Florida Statutes, which is administered by the Office of Financial Regulations to promote economic development, enhance investor protections, streamline the registration process, and update various definitions of HB 311, which amends Chapters 517 in the following ways. It implements an invest local offering exemption, which allows Florida companies to raise up to $500,000 of investment capital from Florida investors. The bill revises the current crowdfunding exemptions to increase the maximum capital raised to amount to $5 million, expanding the eligibility for companies to use the exemption, and allows insurers to crowdfund up to $2.5 million directly with an intermediary, and allows for general solicitation and advertising. It creates an investor-friendly accredited investor exemption to allow Florida companies to raise capital from Florida investors who are reasonably believed to be accredited. It offers a safe harbor for demo day and pitch events and pre-offering exemptions, which exempts entrepreneurial organizations from dealer registration requirements and allows them to test the waters for investor interest before incurring all costs associated with investment offerings. The bill contains an integration provision for all offering exemptions, which allows issuers to conduct multiple investment offerings or claim multiple exemptions simultaneously, in turn lowering issuer liability. The bill also contains enhanced investor protection measures, which authorizes the Office of Financial Regulations to bring enforcement actions against bad actors and their aiders and abettors. It also authorizes increased penalties for targeting and defrauding vulnerable adults and modifies the qualifications for Florida's Investor Restitution Fund. Finally, the bill creates a streamlined registration process which reduces small offering registration barriers and updates various definitions. That is the bill, Mr. Chair, and I ask for the committee's favorable support.
Thank you, Representative Barnaby. Having explained this bill, members, are there any questions before we move on to the amendment? Seeing none, Representative Barnaby, you're recognized to present the amendment.
The strike all amendment confirmed the House language to that of the Senate bill. The substance and intent of the bill was not affected by the strike all. That is the amendment.
Representative Barnaby, there should be an amendment for today. I believe that was the amendment for last week. There should be an amendment for today.
Okay.
Do you have that? Technical, just a technical change?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a technical amendment to fix what we believe was a simple drafting error. It changes the language regarding the 1933 Securities Act from does not apply to applies to, which is the correct reference to the act. That is the amendment to the amendment.
Representative Barnaby having presenting the amendment. Members, are there any questions on the amendment? Seeing none, are there any public testimony on the amendment? Ash Mason of Office of Financial Regulation waves in support. Thank you for being here. Any further public testimony? None. Any members wish to debate on the amendment? Seeing none, Representative Barnaby, you are recognized to close on your amendment.
Wave close.
Representative Barnaby, wave and close on the amendment. Are there any objections to the amendment? Seeing none, we will show the amendment adopted. Members, moving back to the bill now as amended, are there any questions? Seeing none, is there public testimony? David Cruz from Florida League of Cities waves in support. Tiffany Garling, Florida Chamber of Commerce, waves in support. Thank you for being here. Amy Diaz-Lyons, the Business Law Section of the Bar, waves in support. Thank you. Showing all the public testimony, members, we are now in debate. Any members wishing to debate? Seeing no debate, Representative Barnaby, you are recognized to close. Waiving close, Ms. Kimberly, will you please take the roll?
Chair Duggan is excused. Vice Chair Abbott?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Honchowski?
Yes.
Representatives Anderson?
Yes.
Benjamin? Barrero?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Franklin?
Yes.
Griffiths? Yes. Clayton?
Yes.
Rudman?
Yes.
Steele?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Temple? Yes. Tremont?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
By your vote, PCS for HB 311 will be reported as favorable. Congratulations. Members, next we will take up PCS for HB 939, Consumer Protection, by Representative Griffiths. You are recognized.
Thank you, Chair Abbott, for recognizing us this morning. First, before we begin, I'd like to apologize to the ranking member. In working this bill yesterday, I inadvertently left you off the list, and I want to apologize. That was not intentional, and I apologize. So, I'm proud to have collaborated with CFO Petronas on this legislation that protects Florida's consumers. Amongst other measures, this bill establishes a rescission window for roofing contracts entered after a state of emergency. It adds disclosures related to the sale of short-term health insurance. It safeguards states' resources from censoring individuals or groups based on their subjective beliefs, and helps Floridians comply with ever-changing tax requirements by offering consumers an ability to categorize their payments as personal or business transactions. And that is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Representative Griffiths, having presenting the bill, members, are there any questions on the bill? Ranking Member Honchowski, you are recognized.
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate it. Representative, as I reached out to you this morning, there are some concerns with the language on lines 97 through 103, blacklisting language. Could you explain to me When you mention that an agency may not enter into a contract or other agreement with an entity whose function is to advertise the censorship or blacklisting, blah, 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 would you explain to me examples of what that entity would be?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Absolutely, and thank you for the question. One might be for Visit Florida. We wouldn't hate for Visit Florida to engage in activities that might discourage people from visiting Florida. Or if the CFO's office was promoting their My Florida Safe Home program, we wouldn't want them to engage in with companies that might blacklist or censor people that might want to engage in that type of program. So,
follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Could you give me 3 to 5 examples of what entities those would be that do that?
You recognize?
Yes. There are several news organizations, or I shouldn't say news organizations. There are several entities in the country that do this for a living. And Saibara, Advance Media, those are 2 in particular. I can get you more, but they are they try to act credibility to the news source. And as I spoke with Rep. Franklin earlier, I think we've all been a victim of false news based on being elected officials. How many times are you out in public when somebody says, well, you did this, and then you say, well, no, let me explain to you the whole story. So there's a litany of fake news out there. I think we've all been victims of it. So I can get you those 2 or 3 right now, but I can get you more that participate in this nationwide.
Follow up.
Thank you, Chair. I guess my concern is coming from really, how are we identifying that, and are there constitutional issues with this? If you look at the language, for example, what would be considered a news source based on subjective criteria? What would be the subjective criteria?
You recognize?
This legislation that's being crafted today is based on federal legislation that was passed last year, and it was done after the invasion of the Ukraine by Russia. The Department of Defense was actively engaged with companies that were dispensing false narratives. And so this is based on federal legislation that was passed last year.
Follow up.
Thank you, Chair. When you talk about dispensing false information, does that mean it could be a credible news source that one disagrees with?
You recognize?
I think that's a fair question, yes. Yeah, I think there are, we obviously all have difference of opinions, but I think there's also a litany on social media and on the web that propagates fake news. And it right now, this is intently based on making sure that state money is not used in a political bias, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat in charge. This adds neutrality to state dollars being used by agencies.
Follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I completely support the intent. My concern is the language is very vague. And therefore, if you could just give me a little bit more regarding the subjective criteria and political bias, what those specific criteria would be so that we have some guardrails.
Recognize.
Thank you, Rep. Yes, absolutely willing to work with you to help you and I craft that language to make sure there are guardrails so that there is some common sense, some peace of mind to know what we're all voting on. Absolutely.
Members, any further questions? Seeing none, we're moving into public testimony. Eric DeCampos with National Insurance Crime Bureau waves in support. B.G. Murphy with FAIA waves in support. Thank you. Tasha Carter, Office of the Insurance Consumer Advocate, waves in support. Chase Mitchell, CFO, Jimmy Petronas' office, waves in support. Any further public testimony? Seeing none, members, we're in debate. Any members wishing to debate on the bill? Ranking Member Hunchowski, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. And Representative, thank you for answering the questions here in committee. I still have concerns about the language. And again, I fully support the intent, but it's always what you intend to do and what you say in law may not always align. And my concern is the nebulous language in here and that it could be used to blacklist actual news sources just because we don't like what they say. And therefore, for today, I will be a no on this, and I look forward to working with you on language so that we have the guardrails in place so that the full intent is there, but we're also making sure that we're not limiting free speech and it being able to be manipulated in a way that it shouldn't be. Thank you.
Any other? Representative Woodson, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair. Rep. Griffith, I was one of the members you did not contact, and I had some questions on the bill. I have the same issue, one of the issues that Rep. Honchowski, Ranking Member Honchowski has. You did not reach out to me either. I don't know why, but you didn't. So I could have clarified those with you had you reached out to me. So I have some concern, not only this one, and I have some other concerns as well. So hopefully we can meet, talk, or work together so the next time I can support you on this bill. Today I will not be able to support you on it. Thank you.
Representative Steele, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you for bringing this great bill. I wish it was stronger. I think that there's a lot of opportunity to make it stronger. There's too many organizations out there passing fake news. I mean, I have some organization that won't even put their name on a flyer that's you know, targeting my kids. So I think it's important that we step back and think about, you know, what are we doing here? And I think that we need to start focusing on straightening out these issues that are a nationwide issue. It's not just the state of Florida. It's happening everywhere. And I commend you for standing up there and doing this, because I know this is going to be a big bill this year. So just fight through it. I want to co-sponsor it, but I want to make it stronger where you have penalties, fines, and even maybe shutting them down. Thanks.
Any other members wishing to debate? Seeing no further debate, Representative Griffiths, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you. Thank you for the comments, Rep. Woodson. I apologize if I have the wrong number for you. I texted you yesterday afternoon at 4:42 in the afternoon. We can follow up later with discussions and to clarify some things. And Ranking Member, you and I will obviously sit down and have some discussions. But thank you all for your support. And with that, I close.
Representative Griffiths having closed on his bill. Ms. Kimberly, will you please call the roll?
Chair Duggan is excused. Vice Chair Abbott?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Honchowski?
No.
Representatives Anderson?
Yes.
Benjamin?
No.
Barrero?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Franklin?
Yes.
Griffiths?
Yes.
Clayton?
Yes.
Rudman?
Yes.
Steele?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes. I mean, excuse me, no. Sorry.
Tant?
No.
Temple?
Yes.
Tremont?
Yes.
Woodson?
No.
The bill passes.
By your vote, the bill will be reported favorably. Congratulations. Members, will move on to our final bill, HB 605, Asset Protection Products, by Representative Tremont. Representative Tremont, you are recognized to present your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good to see you up there. Vice Chair, Ranking Member, members of the committee. HB 605 is a bill related to asset protection products, which are governed by Florida's motor vehicle sales finance laws. Currently, law only authorizes guaranteed asset protection. We know it as gap coverage. Provides a waiver for your loan balance should your car be destroyed or you owe more of your loan than what your car is worth. This bill just simply expands the scope of gap by authorizing some new products for consumers to choose voluntarily for additional protections. That is the bill, and I do have an amendment.
Representative Tremont, having presented his bill, members, are there any questions before we move on to the amendment? Seeing no questions, you are recognized to present your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The amendment just simply makes some technical updates and aligns our bill with the Senate.
Members, any questions on the amendment? Any public testimony on the amendment? Any debate on the amendment? Representative, you are recognized to close on the amendment.
Waive close.
Representative Tremont, having waived close, members, are there any objection to the amendment? Without objection, show the amendment passes. We're back on the bill as amended. Members, are there any questions on the bill as amended? Seeing no questions, is there any public testimony on the bill as amended? We have one. Ashley Khalif, Guaranteed Asset Protection Alliance. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Any further public testimony? Seeing none, members, we are in debate on the bill. Anyone wishing to debate on the bill? Seeing none. Representative Tremont, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair of the committee. I waive close.
Our bill. Representative Tremont having waived close on his bill as amended. Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair Duggan is excused. Vice Chair Abbott?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Honchovsky?
Yes.
Representatives Anderson?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Barrero?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Franklin?
Yes.
Griffiths?
Yes.
Plakin?
Yes.
Rudman?
Yes.
Steele?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Tremont?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
By your vote, the bill is successful and we report it as favorable. Thank you, Representative Tremont. Before we close, again, I want to wish Ms. Kimberly a happy birthday. I hope it is a wonderful day today. And with that, if there's no further business, Representative Fabricio moves to adjourn. Without objection, we will be adjourned.